Yeah, open up to 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to talk about, I think the best title is Live Peaceably. It's funny, in the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've just been talking about, you know, principles in the scriptures, and I seem to be mentioning quite a bit that there are principles in the scriptures that are hard to live by. And yesterday I was just driving around with a lady from work and just talking about this, you know, like how amazed we are that there are so many different Christian groups, but there's only one Bible, you know, like there's only one Bible, so why are there so many different groups? It just shows how fickle people are. And I admitted to her that, you know, sometimes it comes down to people just cannot apply scriptural principles in their life, and they're trying to find a group that ignores that principle. And she asked me, well, what's... And I said to her, yeah, there's some principles that I find difficult to put in practice and find difficult. And she asked me if I could think of one. And I said, well, yeah, love your enemy. That's pretty tough. I find that hard. And but it's a scriptural principle. And regardless of how we feel or what we think, we still just follow what's written in the Bible. So this one's about live peaceably and tied in with that whole love your enemy business. So here, to introduce 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Neither he that loves not his brother. So if someone does not love his brother in the Lord, spirit-filled brother, he's not doing righteousness of the Lord. Verse 11, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. So he was overcome by jealousy, envy. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So, I mean, there's really strong terms here. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Like before God, it's the same. Someone who hates his brother, his spirit-filled brother or sister, is like being a murderer. And it says there that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, or the brothers and sisters in the Lord. And it ties up with Philippians chapter 2, where basically says that we are the least important person in our life. Honour others greater than yourselves, which is can be tough, these things, because we all live in the flesh. We have the whims of the flesh. We had a bit of a meeting on Friday night, and we were just talking about stuff, and I kind of exclaimed, I said, isn't it amazing that God's chosen people to dwell in? Because we're still people. Like, we just have these character flaws, and there's stuff that goes on in our minds and interactions and so forth. But God has chosen us to dwell in, because that's what he wanted. He wants us to be the tabernacle of the living God. So this love of the brethren, brothers and sisters, is so important to the Lord. Matthew chapter 5. And verse 21, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. That was the, back in the Old Testament times, it was an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in the danger of the council. Now, Raca is has Babylonian origin, actually. It's a term of utter vilification, accusing someone of being completely worthless. So if you say Raca, say someone they're Raca, you're just saying they're a worthless person, you know. Shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. So here's that living peaceably with each other. So if just at the second half, agree with your adversary quickly. You know, just be humble and, okay, come on, let's get this thing out of the way. Like, let's just clean this up and agree with him. Otherwise, there's another scripture that says, those of this world are wiser than those in the light. You know, we are, as spirit-filled people, we follow God's commandments. We're kind. We tend to be a little naive of the ways of the world, which is a good thing because we're focused on the things of the Lord. And if we have some sort of adversary with someone in the world who has a worldly way of thinking, man, they'll just take you down, you know, because we don't have that same energy and passion to be able to bring someone down. So agree with the adversary, get it out of the way, and then move on. You know, live peaceably. The first part, you know, angry with your brother. It's so important that, and it's just a wonderful scripture, verse 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, if you're there praying to God, you know, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, then stop praying. Even praying is less important than reconciling with your brother. You know, stop praying and go and reconcile with your brother and then come back, because that gets in the way of your relationship with God. And I've heard many testimonies of people who had a gripe against another brother or sister, and it was that was burning them up. It didn't impact the other person so much, it was actually burning them up. And I mean, even just a natural example, like with World War II veterans, you know, some of them had so much bitterness against the Japanese, but there are others that managed to forgive and travel to Japan, and they lived a happier life instead of living with all this bitterness. So it's practical stuff that God wants us to implement in our own lives in the Spirit-filled church. And he wants us to apply it. Proverbs chapter 24. It's an interesting little proverb. Proverbs chapter 24. It adds another dimension to this whole love your enemy stuff. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 17. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. So what this says is, like, you've got an enemy, things go wrong in their life, you know, whatever, they lose their job or whatever, you know, think bad stuff happens in their life, and you think, oh yeah, so happy, you know, they deserved it because they're mean, they're my enemy. But it says here, rejoice not when your enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. You know, don't be so happy when your enemy does fumble about and bad stuff happens in his life. And then it qualifies it in verse 18, lest the Lord see it, you know, see the gladness in your heart, and it then displeases him, and he turn away his wrath from him. And there's another important scripture that everyone knows, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And so what he's saying here is leave it up to God to deal with it. It's liberating. You know, like, instead of holding on to these thoughts that you want to see bad stuff happen to your enemy, no, forget it. Leave it up to God. And it qualifies here because the Lord doesn't want to see that it's kind of a wrong spirit in you. You know, that you want to rejoice in seeing someone else fall. God doesn't want to see that, and it says lest he see it and it displeases him, and then he decides not to hearken unto this inequality that's happening or this unjust stuff that's happening between you and your enemy, and instead of meting out judgment on your enemy. So we are encouraged to forget about it and just walk on with our own life, carry on doing what we can and rely on the Lord to judge righteously in these matters. Matthew chapter 18. I won't read all of this, but from verse 15 through to verse 20 is great advice on how to deal with any disagreement between brothers. But I'll just read verse 15, Matthew 18 and verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, do thee wrong. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Okay? You pull him aside alone and have a gentle chat. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Okay, I was only brought out recently an important aspect of this verse, because you could read that and say, right, he's done me wrong. I'm going to go and tell him that he's done me wrong. Pull him aside and say, you've done this and you've done this and you've done this. But it says here that you gain your brother. So that's the mentality you have. I want to gain my brother back. Not say you did this and you did this. You have this spirit of reconciliation to gain your brother, you know, so that then you can carry on as brothers in the Lord. So if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, you have gained your brother. And that's just a wonderful place to be in. There's happiness there. Just another little aspect, verse 21. Then came Peter to him, this is to Jesus, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times, right? Seven times is a lot. Peter's thinking, well, if I forgive him seven times and then he does the same thing to me eight times, then there you go, it's his problem. But what's Jesus' response? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven times. So Jesus said, just keep doing it. And I'll read out another scripture, because the basis of this is that God has forgiven us of so much. He wants us to also forgive. If someone keeps coming back asking for forgiveness, then we just do that, and that we may gain our brother. Go on to verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents, which from I'm told is an awful lot of money. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made, this great debt. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. The whole debt, just wiped it off. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, just a miserly amount. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Big stuff. So we are this servant that owed our master 10,000 talents. We had so much to owe him. All our sin was so short of, we couldn't pay it. It was a debt that we just could not pay. And God sent his own son to die for us, and he just wiped away our debt. He wiped away our sin. He made us perfect. We had a new start, a clean start with no debt. And so if we go about and we refuse to forgive our brothers of their little things that they might do against us, it's like us not forgiving this person that only owed 100 pence. That's nothing. It's nothing compared to what God's forgiven us of. Nothing at all. And so we are to have the mind of Christ, to have that ability to forgive and move on. You know, like God's forgiven and he's moved on so that we can no longer be bound by condemnation and have this weight of a debt carrying over us, but he's set us free. And so we also need to follow the same example because our example, sorry, his example is so great. And so for us here on earth, these little things that come up are nothing compared to what he's forgiven us. Back to chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, is this judgment. Now, I'll make it clear that God loves judgment. Judgment is so important. Righteous judgment is very important, and he loves that. But here in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1, judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine eye? For how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So a mote is just like a splinter, whereas a beam is like this whopping great big plank. So if you behold there's this little splinter in someone's eye, the way they're acting or whatever they're doing is this splinter, but you've got this plank in your eye because you can't see what God's done for you. You know, God's forgiven you amazing stuff, and that's this plank is in the way that you can't see and put things into perspective, that this little blemish in someone's character is just a little splinter in their eye. So it says here, first of all, get rid of your own plank out of your own eye. Realize that God is gracious. He's forgiven you so much. And then you can see clearly, that you can then understand that this splinter in someone's eye is a small thing, and then you can help them get rid of that splinter out of their eye. So, okay, yep, they've got a splinter, but you kind of help them as a brother and help them get rid of that splinter. But keeping things into perspective, realizing what God's done for you, and judge appropriately. Romans chapter 12 and verse 14. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits or in your own eyes. There's many warnings elsewhere in the scriptures about not being wise in your own eyes. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I'll repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And that's just a great way for reconciliation is with your enemy. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Fight fire with water. And it says, I've heard verse 18, it says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. The way I read that, if possible, yes, it is possible. You know, what lies in us? We are filled with the Holy Ghost, right? We have God dwelling in us. The kingdom of God dwells in us. So if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, yes, it is possible. Like, we have no excuse. It is possible to live with all men. It is difficult, but it is possible because we have the Holy Ghost in us to live peaceably with all men. But we have this fleshly aspect, which of course makes it difficult. But what lies in us is something that makes it possible, and we can pray to God to help us. Last scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, nor shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then it says here, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You know, we were all like that once upon a time, but now we're different people. We've been washed, we've been sanctified, and we've been justified. We are perfect in God's eyes. We've been set apart. We are saints. We're washed. We're justified. As I read out on Sunday, Jesus Christ is there justifying us before God. So this other stuff in verses 9 and 10, that's the past. We leave all that behind. And in amongst that, revilers. You know, there are people that argue and carry on and yeah, just try to win their make their point. But that stuff is left behind, and now whatsoever is in us, if it be possible, live peaceably with all men, because we have been cleansed by God. We've been forgiven so much, and to remember to keep things into perspective. And that's why we come to meetings as well, just to remind these things, you know, and talk about these things, to keep things in perspective, because we do forget and get caught up in things that are going on. But we are perfect in God's eyes. We do not condemn ourselves, because God does not want us to do that. He wants us to leave the past behind. We are a new creature where we can live peaceably with all men. Okay, thank you.